And we're being faced with a lot of things that we see throughout the days, that we see on the news, we read the newspaper. You probably hear this from a lot of ministers, but this is true, that we're seeing adversity between law enforcement and citizens. We see citizens who don't want to be governed by authority. We see the family structure in disarray. We see fathers who don't want to lead their families. We see the man changing the definition of marriage, that I can define marriage the way I want to. We see people that do not want to live a life the way God has ordained. That is, God has created you as a man and people desire to live as a female. We have parents who are okay with raising their children the opposite sex that they were born. We see brothers and sisters, we see fellow humans who, for lack of a better word, we hate each other. If you don't believe me, try to drive to work anytime on any highway in Texas at 7 in the morning and see if there's much love. Just let me know if you see it. Or at 5:30. As believers, we live in these times, and these times are perilous. And the disciples, Jesus' disciples, they were living in this time under the Master, under Jesus' tutelage. As a matter of fact, Jesus told his disciples that, I'm going to go away. I know you've walked with me for the last 3.5 years, but I'm about to go away. And where I'm going, you can't go. And as a matter of fact, you can't even find me. That's disconcerting when you've walked with the Son of God, God himself, God in the flesh. You've walked with him for 3.5 years, but he tells you, I'm about to go away. Jesus tells him that not only am I going to go away, but I'm going to die soon. They had just witnessed Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead. But you tell me that you're going to die? How can this be? Jesus goes on to tell the disciples that one of the 12 of you that sit at this table with me is going to betray me. This starts the whispers amongst the disciples. What is going on? What's going on with our master and between us? We're in disarray. Jesus even goes forward and tells Peter that, Peter, you're even going to deny me. Lord, not I, not Peter. Oh, yes, you. Before the cock crows 3 times, even you will deny me. Jesus says that Satan desires that all of the disciples fall away in Luke's gospel. The disciples are worried. They're afraid. They're in disarray. A lot of things are going on right now. But in John's gospel, chapter 14 and verse 15, Jesus gives them one statement that will keep them. My Bible reads, John chapter 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. If I had to give a title for my sermon this evening, would be, if you love me, you will obey me. As Jesus is talking to his disciples, in the midst of all the turmoil that's going on, he gives them these words that are to comfort them. But nevertheless, in their minds, a lot of things are still going on. But Jesus gives these same commandments in verse 15. In verse 21, he goes on to say that he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Jesus goes further on to say in verse 23, Jesus said, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Loving God and obeying God is paramount to knowing him. Jesus gave these instructions 3 times to his disciples. And these disciples are believers. There are no scribes in the rooms. There's no Pharisees. There's no Sadducees. These are all believers in Jesus Christ, except for the son of perdition, when he issues this commandment to them. And I want to talk on three different things this evening. The address that Jesus gave was to believers. And he wanted the believers to know that the world is going to know that you obey me by how, number one, how you love the Lord your God. How you love the Lord your God is how the world will know that you love me. In Luke's gospel, there's the story that Jesus goes to the rich young ruler. And the rich young ruler comes to Jesus and says, "Good teacher, what is it that I must do to inherit eternal life?" Now, when he comes to Jesus, he comes with some preconceived notions already in his heart that I've got this taken care of. I just need to get a little bit from Jesus and I'll be all right. But I found out in my life that if you ever come to God with preconceived ideas, that you think you can know God without humbling yourself to him and obeying him, that God will make you look like a fool. Because his ways are higher than our ways, and his ways are not our ways. His ways are higher and holier than ours. So Jesus tells the rich young ruler, he says, "Well, keep these commandments that I gave you. Do not commit adultery, don't murder, don't steal, don't lie, honor thy mother and thy father. Keep all of these." The rich young ruler was very quick to come back and say, "Already did that, got it, got the t-shirt, what else is there? I'm good." Some of us even think that way, that we keep commandments. But what we fail to realize is that when Jesus gave this rundown of commandments, that is the way that we deal with each other. And this rich young ruler says, "I already got that. Got that taken care of." Well, what Jesus does, he takes it up a notch. I love the way God does this. He takes everything up a notch. He says, "Okay, if you already got that, I want you to do something for me then. Since you have much possessions, I want you to take everything that you own, sell it, give it to the poor, and follow me." The rich young ruler says, "I'm out. I can't handle that. You're asking too much of me. That you're asking me to take away the things that are near and dear to me." And the disciples say, "If this man can't be saved, then who can be saved?" And Jesus says, "With man, not all things are possible, but with God, all things are possible." And you're looking at God in the flesh, in Jesus Christ. See, what happened is that the rich young ruler had something that he loved more than God, and that was his possessions. And the first commandment that God gives is in Deuteronomy 6 to his people. How is it that we are to love the Lord? In Deuteronomy 6, he tells them, he says, "Hear, O Israel, O Lord, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, and all thy might." Everything you have, you are to love God with first. Everything. There is nothing to be left in reserve for anyone or anything else but God first. If you love me, you will obey me. You know, I had an experience in 1993 where God brought the scriptures to life for me. I read the scriptures. I think that I understand the scriptures, but God gives you life lessons. 1993, I'm actually working my college job, Christmas season. I'm on my way back out to the parking lot. It's been dealing with shoppers all day. It's after 10:45 at night. As I head to my car, I notice that the mall security and the Arlington Police Department are starting to go up and down the parking aisles, and as I get closer to my car, the police get closer to me. As I get closer to my car, they get closer to me, and I'm thinking something is wrong with this picture. And as I get to my car, there is an officer that is behind me. He has his gun unholstered, and he says, "Would you mind stepping back away from the car?" I don't mind stepping away from the car. He says, "Do you carry any weapons or any guns?" I said, "No, I don't." He said, "Let me raise your shirt." I raised my shirt up. He said, "Raise your t-shirt. I want to see your skin." So I pull my shirt out of my pants. By the way, I had a belt on, pants pulled all the way up, but he made me pull all of my shirt out till you see my bare skin. He goes, "You mind if I check your car? You're in charge. You can check my car." He checked my car. He looked through the entire car. He said, the reason why we stopped you is that somebody earlier said that someone in this car pulled a gun on someone pulling into the parking lot. And so we've been waiting for the owner of this car to come out since about 6 o'clock. I said, I have not left the mall. I've been here this entire time. The officer holstered his gun. He told me, he said, it's better that we stop you here in the parking lot than to do a felony stop on the side of the street. And he walked away. That was the end of that. But I was hurt. I was upset. And frankly, I was angry. How could you? How dare you? I went to the police department. I asked him, I said, is this proper for a policeman to do that? He said, it is. I said, should he have offered an apology? He said, he can, but he's not required to. It took me some time to get over this. But now, as everything is going on recently, God has now shown me. He said, you had an overinflated view of yourself in 1993. You think because you're a college student, because you're matriculating, because you're studying, because you want to set yourself apart from others, your view of yourself was more inflated. And frankly, your view of God had started to sink. So I needed to straighten that out in your life a little bit. That love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all thy strength, and all thy might. With everything you have, you love me first. Don't love yourself. Don't love your matriculation. Don't love your degree. Love me first. And everything else I'll take care of. Don't worry about whether it was fair or not. I'm the one that kept you and protected you. That's what you need to remember. Was it racial? No, it wasn't racial. If somebody had pulled a gun on my wife, I would want that person stopped too. But God said, that was a point for you to learn about me. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy strength, and all thy might. If you love me, you will obey me. The first point. Love the Lord thy God first. The second for believers, the way that our Christian love will be manifest is how we love one another. Jesus told his disciples in John chapter 15, verse 12, he said, I give you a new commandment that you love one another. But we've been around each other for 3 years, Jesus. No. Not this phileo love, not this. You have to step it up a notch to agape love. And this is a love that you just can't come up on your own, because after a while, people will get on your nerves. Somebody will use you and abuse you. Sometimes you think something is owed to you and you don't get it. That's when the phileo runs out and the agape has to kick in. Jesus said that for the disciples, the only way you are going to survive going through what the Roman government wants to put on you, what the Jews want to put on the Christians who are following and obeying me, the only way you're going to survive this is to keep my commandment, number one, and to love each other. Love the brethren like I have loved you. The love that we have for Christ is not a love that we can come up with on our own. It has to be a love that comes from the Lord God by His Holy Spirit. Love me as I have loved you. No greater love that can be shown than a man lay down his life for a friend. And Jesus said, I count you as my friends now, no longer enemies. The way that the world will see Christian love in us is the way we love each other. Those who are lovable and those who are not lovable. Because the last time I checked, according to the gospel, I'm not a lovable person. I have in and out days. I have up and down days. But God says, my love doesn't wane. It reminds me of a story that I noticed. This is only about 3 weeks old, and this was on the news. You may have seen it. We had our last bout of heavy weather, and there was a vehicle, a truck, an SUV that had run off of a road in Irving, down an embankment, into swollen waters, and turned upside down. There was a female driving an 18-wheeler. She stopped her 18-wheeler on the side of the highway, ran down the embankment in the mud, in the rain, jumped into the water. Some person was coming out of the SUV and she said, could you help us? There's somebody else left in the vehicle. She jumped into the water, helped this second victim out, helped hold her head above the water until rescuers got there. And she said, the only thing I could think to tell this woman that all I did is just held her head above the water is that Jesus loves you and that Jesus died for you. That's all I could think to tell her. But you know what? She told her enough. She told her the truth that Jesus died for you and Jesus loves you. But this is the kicker of this story. As she was down in the mud and down on the embankment, she said she looked up and she noticed that not many people stopped. They kept going. How is it that we show love for each other except for the love that Christ showed us? That Christ so loved us that he gave his life for us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When we were sinking in sin and we were going below the waves of life, Christ died for us. He came and rescued us when our souls were dead to him. Christ died for us. God convicted me. I'm in my car. It's dry. I have climate control. Would I have stopped, opened my door, went down the dirt embankment into the water in my suit, in my work? I had an appointment to get to. Would I have done that? God convicted me at that point. I must show my love for Christ the way I show it toward others. God also has a word for the non-believers. Remember, in this room, there were believers, except for Judas Iscariot. Jesus said, if you don't keep my commandments, you're telling me no. The scriptures call unbelievers unrighteous children of wrath and enemies of God. And my question to you is that if you're an enemy of God, where is it that you can go and what is it that you can do and how far can you run before an infinite, all-powerful, almighty God can't find you? Think about that. But just remember, us as believers, our lives are to reflect Jesus Christ. Love the Lord thy God first with all thy might, all thy strength, and all thy heart. And love one another as Christ has loved us. God bless you.